WOLB Baltimore and WERQ FM HD3 Baltimore, an Urban One radio station, minority controlled
and operated and serving the African American community for over 40 years.
The views and opinions of the guest and host you hear on 1010 WOLB
are not necessarily those of the staff and management of Radio One, its sponsors, or advertisers.
Eat a little cigar on a marble stair. Trying to find the ocean, looking everywhere.
And a good afternoon, and welcome to another edition of the Coach's Corner with yours truly, Coach Butch McAdams, featuring my main man, T.J. Smith. And this show is sponsored in part by J&W Brown General Contracting and their licensed full service, I repeat, full service home improvement contracting, servicing all of your home improvement renovations, interior and exterior. Give them a call, 410-728-5000. That's 410-728-5000. And a step forward, Are you or someone you love suffering with a disease of drug or alcohol addiction? Hey, we'll suffer no more. Pick up the phone and dial a step forward, 410-462-6001. That's 410-462-6001. And they will help you or someone you know to get back to society. And Shooting for Peace, grassroots nonprofit. They use sports and current and former athletes to teach life lessons to youth and their families. And this is under the leadership of my main man, Raymond Sidnor. All right, T.J. Smith, we've got a very special guest. But before we bring up our guest, how are you?
I'm very well, Coach. Good afternoon to you and everyone listening. And sadly, as we come on the air, another busy weekend. And, you know, definitely wanted to start it off with some good stuff. But a lot of craziness that we have to get into.
A lot of craziness, but I want to start off by giving a special recognition to one of the greatest athletes of all time. And you can make a case that he was the greatest winner of all time. And he transitioned yesterday, and I'm talking about Bill Russell.
Indeed.
Bill Russell, and I get into so many debates with younger people, and I say, look, when you talk about who's the greatest or you have a list, just say these are the people who I had a chance to see and I deem them the greatest. Clarify it, because so many times people don't have Bill Russell, and I'm saying this, there's not been a human being alive that if I had to win a game seven, I wouldn't pick.
Yeah.
Or Bill Russell would be my selection, or I would not pick them over Bill Russell. Now, you're a youngin', but I know you do your research. Now, I know you didn't see Russell play live, but you probably researched him.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, it's really hard to argue people like Bill Russell and Wilt and Kareem and push them way down the line to the and put in your 80s and 90s players who are great in their own right and in that era. And I want to piggyback off of that and bring it hyper local to Baltimore, because this weekend we got to celebrate my cousin, William Wells, who had Way named after him, longtime St. Francis.
St. Francis. I interviewed him about maybe 4 months ago on my show.
Well, there was a street naming unveil right in front of the infamous dome down on Biddle Street, and Mayor Scott was there this weekend for the street unveiling, and he made a surprise announcement while we were there. There are going to be some renovations put into the dome at some point in the next year or so, and he made the surprise announcement that the dome is going to be renamed the William Wells Dome after the renovations take place. So phenomenal honor, and it was a phenomenal environment to see how many people from East and West Baltimore came together, legends in the basketball community, to celebrate him. So congratulations to him, and it was an honor to be there.
Well, speaking of an honor, it is our honor to bring up our guest. And I have a lot of respect for this individual. And so without further ado, let's bring up the former mayor of Baltimore City, Sheila Dixon. Mayor Dixon, good afternoon. Welcome to the Coach's Corner. Thank you for giving us some time. Thank you. I want to start off, Mayor Dixon, and you were one of the first to endorse the candidacy in the campaign of Ivan Bates. And, of course, he emerged victorious. But my question is, what did you see at that early point that some others didn't see in terms of Ivan and his candidacy?
Well, there are a couple things that I looked for in our former and in the current state's attorney, based on one of the successes that I had in my administration, even though Pat Jessamy, under the O'Malley administration, there was a lot of challenges.
Right.
But one of the things that I gained a lot of respect and learned with our strategy and our crime plan was that we were able to sit down, the police department, the state's attorney's office, other entities, and really have a heart-to-heart conversation about transitioning from the zero tolerance plan to a holistic approach to really trying to fight and deal with crime. And so, you know, I, just like anybody else, I give everybody the benefit of the doubt because I believe that people get into public office to do a good job and try to be passionate about what they do and really make an impact and difference. But I didn't see that happening here in the city. And I understand people's styles or their philosophy about how they want to govern. But I also know, and Ivan approached me 4 years ago, and, you know, I gave him some pointers off the record about, you know, running for public office. He worked in the state's attorney's office under Pat Jessamy. He had a good sense and an idea of a plan. But, you know, I've given State's Attorney Mosby, you know, the benefit of the doubt. I've supported her in the past. But I just didn't see that office moving in a direction that I think was needed, along with the strategies of the police department, what was happening in the courts, et cetera. And in talking to Ivan this time, I just believed that it was time for a change, and we needed someone who was going to go in there, who was a prosecutor, who also, as you know, is a defense attorney, who also played a huge role in helping to disclose some of the gun task force, what was going on there. And also his desire to really focus on what the challenges are that we face today. And mm-hmm. so knowing that it might be a little controversy for some people because, you know, people, you know, kind of question my support for Ivan and why I wouldn't support Marilyn Mosby and another woman. And it wasn't about, and I like her as a person, but I just felt we needed some real change in the state's attorney's office. Things weren't going in the direction that I felt needed to go and that I know that we needed to do. And that's not talking about locking up everybody either, but because that wasn't my philosophy. But I also know that, you know, people sometimes you have to be humble and not deal with your ego, but deal with any weaknesses and strengths that your department has you know, I'll give you a prime example. I asked Pat Jessamy when I came on board, I said, hey, what are some of the challenges that the police department face? I want to hear what they are. What are some of the weaknesses? Mm-hmm. And she told me, she said, you know, one of the biggest weaknesses of the police department is that the police are not writing reports well. I said, so what is it going to take? She said, we'll put together a class and do training and help those officers write their reports correctly so that when it comes before the judge and the prosecutors, et cetera, it will help to tighten up those cases. I took what she said. She put together classes. We had officers go through those programs that got certificates, and it made a big difference. And vice versa. I said, let me share with you what we see as a weakness in the state's attorney's office. And we were able to really kind of communicate, put aside egos, really sit down and strategically, you know, work towards the same goals and objectives. And I believe that Ivan is that kind of individual that can get the state's attorney office back on track, make sure they have the qualified attorneys, train young attorneys, get that office moving, playing its role, because they have different pieces that have to happen in this crime fighting effort. It's just not one individual or one agency.
Mm-hmm. And maybe TJ, jump in.
Something similar about the sticking together thing, because this is a city that is certainly divided racially and certainly gender-wise in a lot of ways. How difficult of a decision was it to step out and go with Ivan? And then what I thought was a very strong ad with you and Mary Miller, former mayoral candidate, to endorse him. I thought that came across very well in the final days leading up to early voting. How did that come together for you two to get together to put a very strong endorsement behind him? Because people's words carry weight, and you're putting a lot of stock and value into a person and its credibility. How did that come about for you guys?
So as you know, we all ran, you ran as well for mayor. Mary Miller approached me and said, hey, I want to do more to help Ivan. You know, would you be willing to actually, TJ, at some point there was some discussion about calling you in on being a part of that commercial as well. But, you know, she approached me about doing a commercial. She said she wanted to do more. I said, hey, I'm willing to be a part of that. We brought in an advertising firm that came up with the concept, and we went with it. Because even if you don't agree on things, you know, that doesn't mean that you can't come together when you're committed to the city. And I love Baltimore. And we have all the ingredients to be successful. And as you know, working in the police department, in the city, you know that we have a great city, but the disconnect, instead of us pulling things together and connecting those dots, it seems like the dots are getting spread further and further apart. And so that's kind of how it came about. It was some discussion about it. Another mutual individual who supports Ivan, also Greg Bernstein, was in the discussion on it as well, who was a former state's attorney. And then we just did it. You know, she raised most of the money to do the ad. This was an independent expenditure. It wasn't out of, Ivan didn't even know about the fact that we were going to be doing this commercial, since it was independent of his campaign.
Let's talk a little bit about the squeegee situation. Because as I recall, during your administration, it was not a big issue. I mean, you would see some occasionally, but nothing like this. And then I'm hearing about the police, and I, you know, TJ, you can jump in, and if I'm off base, but I'm hearing that the police then saying, well, we've got to wait to see before we get them off the corner whether or not we are violating their First Amendment right. Talk to us about how you dealt with the squeegee situation.
Yeah, I'll be curious about that First Amendment thing, if that ever was an issue during your tenure, because it feels new to me. I'd never heard that until
Yeah, it feels new to me too. And I said, huh? What? To be honest with you, during my administration, because we had a really large homeless issue in the city, we had a challenge with the panhandlers and the panhandlers getting aggressive. And so we actually amended some of our local laws as well as at the state level as relates to panhandling. We brought the homeless advocates in. They were very, you know, I know people say they go back to 1985, but I did not have this issue of squeegee folks. We had the panhandler issue. So we sat down with the downtown partnership with the homeless advocates because, of course, you know, they were like, well, are you going to make these homeless people get off the corner? Yes, you're going to make them get off the corner. We don't want them out there panhandling people as they come in the city. We had a 10-year homeless plan we were working on. That's how we created the Housing Resource Center across the street from Our Daily Bread. I mean, that was built. And so I looked at a program in New York under Mayor Bloomberg, because I got a number of initiatives from the Bloomberg administration, the gun registry, the 10-year homeless plan. And so our focus, where we had people out there at night, during the day, 24 hours, working with those individuals that were panhandling or homeless on the corner. I don't know if TJ remembers this. There was a gentleman on Martin Luther King that used to have his couch right out in the middle of the medium strip. He had his tennis shoes lined up and everything. He was there forever. My folks, two of my individuals, one of them, that wasn't even his area, but he had a great passion for it. They got out there every day to get him off that corner and finally got him into an apartment, got him on his medication. So we had more issues with the panhandlers that we were trying to get off of the corner. There might have been one or two squeegee folks, but they weren't out there. Then all of a sudden, TJ, you tell me, because, you know, I'm a little fogged right now. They started kind of building back up under Stephanie's administration, under Batts and Davis. I think they were there when you were there. But we didn't have it. We were focusing on the panhandlers that were aggressive. Now, I mean, it's just like you see. I mean, some administrations was encouraging the squeegee folks to be out there as entrepreneurs, which I think is a bad idea. It's, you know, and I'm sorry, when we talk about programs and nonprofit entities and folks, we have things that are available right to this day that can get those individuals off the corner, get them in the jobs, get them in the training programs, get them back into school if that's what they need to be, and get them on the right path. Not pay them a stipend out of my tax dollars, as Councilman Zeke Cohen wants to do. But, you know, or if we can't get them in these programs that exist, why do we have these programs?
Let me ask you about Councilman Cohen's initiative. Now, let's be clear about this, because I'm not. I am certainly, if he's talking about just giving them a stipend and just to get them off the corner, then I'm totally against that, because what type of lessons or life moments, teaching moments, are we giving our youngsters? Now, if it's job training or something like that, then that's different. But what would be your solution, Mayor Dixon?
At this point in time, how invasive this is out there, these young people that are out there and older individuals, I would have our police officers out there moving them from the corners, telling them they have to leave, giving them potentially a resource to go to a particular place, if it's the mayor's office of employment development or wherever, to say, hey, here are some opportunities of jobs. I already know of businesses right there at Gay Street, the Holiday Inn Hotel and Quality Inn. The owners of those hotels took the initiative hired some of those young people who were on the corner of Gay and Mulberry, Orleans. They got them trained, was working about a week. They didn't want to deal with authority. They didn't want to work, so they went back out there. I don't want to lock them up, but they got to get off those corners, and we've got to send that kind of message to them. Mm-hmm. And I know people that's my feeling.
And Mayor and Coach, you know, Mayor Dixon and I actually agree on a lot of things. Of course, during the campaign, we had to play like we didn't. But we agree on a lot of things, especially this one. We never, ever endorsed going out there doing a sweep and locking them all up. And that's what this issue has become. And Mayor Dixon brought up, you know, the transition of how this has become more socially acceptable. So Mayor, down where Coach lives in C. Pleasant, he started this squeegee entrepreneurship.
Come on, man. Stop that.
And
you know, I don't live in no damn C. Pleasant, but go ahead.
And what I saw over the years, during the Rawlings-Blake administration, it wasn't acceptable, so to speak, and we were moving them off the corner. But that post-2015 world, things slowed down a bit when it came to enforcing some of the, quote, low-level laws. And we've watched the, quote, lawlessness become more acceptable. And it, as I say often, it's a baby with the bathwater thing. Just because you don't want to arrest everybody doesn't mean you can't enforce things. So I think one of the things, Coach, that Mayor Dixon and I both share in common is go out there and tell them you can't be out here. And here are some opportunities. Then we go back out there and tell them again, hey, we gave you some moments and opportunities to do something, but you can't be out here. And then finally, if they're telling us through hell or high water, we're going to stand on this corner, I think we share the same common theme. Oh, no, you're not. No, you're not. And now if we have to arrest you, that's what we're going to do. But it's avoidable, like the bag tax. Take a bag in. You don't have to pay the nickel. Get off the corner. You don't go to jail. Simple. So
right.
It does start.
And if we lock you up, you know, I mean, you could have it in a way where you might not take them to central booking or somewhere like that. But you could take them to one of those vacant schools, set it up where, particularly if they're underage, you know, they're young, call in, find out where they live, if they live with their parents, grandparents, or whomever, get them in there to deal with it. Just like the gentleman that, and I think it's Harford County or somewhere, where the young man shot the individual who came out with the bat. And the father was saying that his son lived in the county, but he was bored, and he would come to the city all the time. Where's the parental responsibility in this?
Yes, and that has been done with the, it's been done with truancy, and it's been done with curfew, where there's been off-site setup where you put them somewhere. And all of these ideas have been talked about. The job opportunities, the going and talking to families and building the infrastructure. And that's what government's there for. And what Mayor Dixon was talking about, I was feeling some of that when I was knocking on doors. I said, you know, the constituent services, I know she did well. She's going to be part of my administration. So I would tell people that. So just letting you know. So.
And also.
Well, I told him you was going to be part of my administration. You was going to head up the criminal coordinating council.
If you're just joining us here, the Coach's Corner with yours truly, Coach Butch McAdams, featuring T.J. Smith, our very special guest. This afternoon is Mayor Dixon. And Mayor Dixon, I don't know what your schedule's like, but if you have some time, we can open the lines and maybe get some questions from a caller. As it pertains to the current state of Baltimore, the squeegee situation, what to do with it. Also, the homicide numbers under the Dixon administration were down. Looking at, God forbid, but it looks like we're approaching the 300-plus number once again. What are your solutions in terms of violent crimes and homicides?
You know, again, one of the things, and I told this to Governor Hogan, who really liked TJ and his plan, and I said, hey, that's fine and good. Because we all met with him with our different crime plans, and And I remember telling him, but I said, but the mistake that you made, Governor, was listening to Catherine Pugh and eliminating the Criminal Coordinating Council, which was made up of all public safety entities. And these were public meetings. So you couldn't hide. You had to be there. You had to participate. But we agreed at that time that we were going to work in our different respective areas. That, and I know there's some discussion about bringing that coordinating council back together. You know, I heard there's some resistance from the courts, but you have to have every player at the table. And that's why I said to the various governor candidates, I said, look, you have enough to do at the state as it relates to criminal justice to not think that you're going to come in the city because you're not the mayor. Sure, you can give them resources, but you got to deal with parole, probation. You have to deal with the prison system. You have to deal with juvenile justice. All of these entities belong to the state. And I said, and they have been dysfunctional for a while. So even though you want to pass laws and you want to, you know, reduce crime, get your agencies in order. And that's got to be the focus moving forward. Whoever the next governor is going to be, prayerfully, it will be Westmore, not Mr. Cox. Mm-hmm. But I mean, that's just my perspective. But all of these pieces have to go. You know, Coach, carjacking.
Mm. Yes,
that's gotten out of. I'm like,
I saw a read a story. TJ sent me, and I'm saying, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do they have a special task force just for that?
No, it's considered a robbery, basically. And I tell you, when I was working for BPD and we had a Public Information Act request for carjackings, when I saw the number, I almost quit and left the city because I was shocked at how many carjackings they were. I did not realize it was so many. It was unbelievable. And it scared me because the reason being is they're indiscriminate. They're indiscriminate. That's anybody. We know that the violence mainly is targeted, right? And people are in high-risk behavior. And it doesn't justify it, but that's just the reality. But the carjackings are indiscriminate. The number is off the charts. And it's off the charts throughout the country right now. And you have juveniles and adults. And it's really unfortunate. Well, but,
yeah, and look here over in D.C. and Prince George's County, there's been an issue with it, but they combined to form a special task force.
Yeah, I haven't
heard about a task force in Baltimore, and the carjackings weren't not like this years ago. I mean, I'll be honest with you, during COVID and losing the election, I used it as an excuse. I was like, well, I was depressed. I really wasn't. But I was like, I put two kids through college. I said, I'm treating myself to a car, another car, my main car I drive. And I said, I don't like driving that other car in the city. You know what? I'm like, I'm really afraid to drive that car in the city.
That's true, but it's unfortunate.
Auto theft task force. It just in general, that's been around for years where they do focus on stolen cars, but I believe that might be more reactive and focusing on maybe car theft rings versus the car jackings, a different type of criminal. So that is something. And I wanted to ask Coach real quick, another quick question to you, Mayor Dixon. I like to ask this of former candidates of office. If you were invited, if we were having a public meeting, you, me, Bob Wallace, Mary Miller, Tharuth Vignaraja, who actually might be calling on my other line to tell me he's launching his campaign for Mayor 2024. But if you were able to be in a conversation right now with Mayor Brandon Scott, what would you suggest to him from your campaign that you think he could do and should do right now to have an impact on things as we stand in the city?
Well, I've had a couple conversations with Mayor Brandon Scott about my crime plan. I know one of the areas that he is supposed to be focused on is pulling back that Criminal Coordinating Council. I'm not sure if that has happened or not, The other pieces.
They're doing it, but the judges aren't at the table.
What'd you say?
I said they're doing it, but the judges are not at the table. That's one of the things I know he.
Okay. Well, see that. See, then that doesn't help if you don't have anybody. The other piece is the gun registry. I don't think they're maximizing when they arrest individuals with these illegal guns, and I put the bill in place where they register those individuals, but not only register them, but they send a crew out of folks to go and check on those individuals to see what they're doing. If they're not doing anything, giving them resources or things that they need to do. Because I used to go out there and visit individuals who were arrested and then were home on probation with a team of people to provide service. I mean, literally, we knocked on the doors. It wasn't about the politics. I didn't send a press release out and say, hey, go with me out media. We did this on a regular basis. I'm not sure if the gun registry is working the way it does. Third, you know, we have a shortage of police. This is all over the country based on everything that's happened. We have to incentivize, but also come up with a way, not that we're going to police our way out of this, but we have to try to maintain. We lost a lot of good officers. My nephew was an excellent sergeant. Another friend of mine who's a lieutenant who done there 20-some years, and they're out. They're out of there. But we have to be able to recruit individuals. And then last but not least, the school system is still part of my administration. You can't be hands off with what's going on in the school system. You've got to be hands on. I don't care if we give them $1 of their budget, which we don't. We give them what, close to $60 million now, $50-some million.
$250 million dollars from the city to the school system.
Well, whatever the amount is that we're giving them, I'm going to be in there, in their face, looking at different initiatives that we started that I know that is successful and it did work, and be in those schools, because you've got to identify young people early on. You can tell those individuals who are not going to make it, then drop out, and then you know what happens. And we have to be more active and involved in what's going on in our school system.
Okay, Mayor Dixon, if you could stay around for a few minutes, and we've got some people online. 410-481-1010, 410-481-1010. We welcome first-time callers, infrequent callers. If you have a comment or response to this conversation, you're welcome. 410-481-1010. Shonda, we have Joe aboard. Joe, are you there? Okay. No Joe. And let's see. Doc Cheatham, are you there, Doc?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
All right. Yes, loud and clear.
Good afternoon,
Thank
Doc.
You very much for taking my call. Want to hear your responses to a statement I've made with to some community leaders, and that is we feel that the legal advice dealing with the squeezies, we don't know whether it's coming from the solicitor's office, but we think the legal advice is wrong on how to deal with the squeezies. And the city still has not come up with a plan to educate and get these young guys and gals that are really not bad kids. They just need some direction and some improvement. We think that their goal in responding to it and legally looking at it is totally wrong. And the bad thing is this mayor and his staff won't listen to people.
I think that Mayor Dixon and I agree. I'll let her speak for herself. But
so I'm trying to understand the question. I definitely believe that the legal opinion right now is coming from the city solicitor's office, and I think it's crap. You know, I don't believe what they're saying is correct. And I understand, just like the deputy city solicitor said in the hearing, she said to define the squeegee versus the panhandler. The panhandlers need to go to both the squeegee folks and the panhandlers need to go. So that addresses her issue with, are you going to make one go versus the other? And it's not about brown and black. If those were white kids out there doing it, I would have the same perspective and view. This is about quality of life. Just like Coach said, they're not in D.C. They're not in Philadelphia. They're not in Prince George's County. Why do they have to be in Bomber City? Well, we all the nonprofits out here getting money for different job programs, et cetera, et cetera. Who's getting the jobs? Or who are they training? Or who are they working with?
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for the call, Doc. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, 410-481-1010. We've got Joe Holden. Joe, you're up next on the Coach's Corner.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air. Yes, Joe, you're on the air.
Oh, yes. Hi. Thank y'all for having my call.
All right, Joe, talk to us, man. Come on.
The Coach, it's good to hear your voice. Is the mayor still with you all?
Talk to us, Joe. What's your question, brother?
Well, my whole thing is, as far as with the squeezy kids, everybody act like they don't have a solution. But, you know, when I was coming up right here in Baltimore City, we had Operation Champ, Camp yeah. Concern. When we got out of school, we could go walk right straight into a recreation center and do things. And we had a lot to do, and they constantly had jobs for us. I don't understand why the city is claiming they can't have jobs for these kids, man.
Hey,
and
Joe,
I know
Joe,
they got the money.
I got to stop you, Joe, because they are jobs. They don't want the jobs that are available. I said this last week. This is just a misnomer. The job programs have been out there. You can talk to the people who are running them. The people on these corners want to do what they want to do, and they aren't being held accountable. The job opportunities are there. They might not want them, but they are there. We just keep living under the same old misnomer.
Yeah. All right, Joe, thank you for the call, brother. Thank you.
Yeah. And the rec centers are there. The rec centers are open. The rec centers have programs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I get it. Young people want to have money. I mean, I've been working since I was 14 years old. You know, I worked during the summer. I worked part-time jobs. I was in camp. I did all of that. You have more now available to young people than you've ever had before.
Yeah. It's a balance.
All right, go ahead.
I can go to work.
Yep. 410-481-1010. Let's go to Jim. Jim, you're up next. You're on the Coach's Corner with Coach McAdams and TJ Smith. And
hello, how y'all doing? Hello.
Yes.
How y'all doing? How you doing, Sheila? My whole thing is, you know, I've been there before myself personally, living in my car and whatnot. And I know for a fact that a lot of these so-called jobs are just 6 hours a week or, you know, 2 days a week. They're talking about they want the money, you know, and with inflation and everything going up, you guys aren't talking about money. You're talking about going to a youth group and they want money, you know, so why not just take some of y'all millions of dollars and go out and buy 3 concession stands and put them on the corner with the little concession stands or something else, because they don't care. They don't want to work under these people. These people y'all went and got, these people are lames.
Well, who are you referring to when you say...
They're not with
Jim,
you.
Jim, who are you referring to when you say these people? Clarify that, please.
The Black Lives Matters and all that. They ain't with all that. They want to make their money. Just like the kid, just like the people is making the money in Ghana, they're making money out there because they have concession stands and stuff, and they're working. They want to be street vendors, is what I'm saying. So why not help them? See, this is the problem. If you see somebody trying to be a street vendor, you want to put them in a building where we got air conditioning. This is a good thing. They want to be out on the street making money. Why not help them make money? You know,
well, all right, Jim. Thank
money. They can make everybody can make money all around the board.
All right, Jim. All right, thank you.
Being a street vendor and having a product that you could sell is totally different than being out there and washing people's windows. So, and in a lot of cases, not even with good equipment, when we already have the equipment that we need to wash our windows. That's two different things. And there are programs that would help individuals establish themselves as street vendors and set up businesses.
And it still takes responsibility. It still takes a huckster's license. It still takes you to be somewhere at a specific time. It's still a level of responsibility. You still, if you're going to sell drinks, it's going to be a heavy cooler with ice, with beverages in it that you're going to have to get. It's a major responsibility, which I'm cool with, as long as we're teaching something. And that's
right.
Okay. But it's a responsibility.
And that's my component, as long as we are teaching something. All right, let's go back to the lines. We do have a line available, 410-481-1010. And let's see what Money Mike has to say. My main man, Money Mike.
Good morning. Good afternoon, Coach. Good afternoon, Mayor Dixon. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
All right, I got two questions. The first is, whatever happened to, I think her name is Viola Price, the truant officer, because these kids out on the street, everybody knows that without an education, you're going nowhere. Without discipline, you're going nowhere. So, and my second question is to you, is how do you change a culture? Because this killing, this squeegeeing, it's about culture, man. And unless we can come up with an idea that's going to change the culture, we're going nowhere. And that's for every city in America, as far as I'm concerned. And I'll take your answer off air.
Yeah, I think the lady's name was White, Miss White.
Violet White. She was the first black officer for the Baltimore Police Department. And, you know, Father Time got the best of her after many years on this earth. She was born in the late 1800s. But truant officers are kind of like a thing of the past, just in reality.
Mm-hmm. Well, and not only that, one of the things that they got rid of, which was excellent, because my mother was this. My mother was a parent liaison in the school system, and she would go and visit families, you know, when kids weren't in school. She would have workshops at the schools for parents and work with individual families. Like, I believe in the community school concept. Okay, what we have in the school, and then bring those resources. And it was a good model after Chicago. And then bring the resources in the schools that's going to help not only the child but also the family. One of the things that we started was called family strengthening. And at the time, some of my executive staff was like, okay, family strengthening. Well, we were working with individuals before they came out of prison. We connected them with their families, coming up with a plan, providing them with mental health services, and before coming out of prison, helping them with a plan of action so when they came out, they were able to work with themselves and their family and really address, now that you have all this money available for trauma and therapy, but really focus on these issues and bring those resources in the schools to work with the parents early on when those children enter school at pre-kindergarten and kindergarten. And begin that process.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to Lee. Lee, you're up next. You're speaking with Coach McAdams, TJ Smith, and our special guest, Mayor Dixon.
What's up, Coach? What's going on, TJ and Mayor Dixon? Hey, look, I'm going to say it again, and I said it before. Stop giving these knuckleheads money, and they will leave the corners. They will get off the street trying to squeegee. You know, stop giving them money. Everybody hear me out clearly. Stop giving them money. Please stop. Because you're not helping them. You just create more problems. It's just like this. If you go get a job and they're not paying you enough money, what you going to do? You're going to go get another job. It's that simple. Stop giving them money, period. Can everybody hear me clear? Stop giving them money. You're not helping by giving them a dollar or two. You're actually keeping them there. Stop giving them money. And I'm going to get off the air with that.
All right, thank you.
I agree with what he's saying. Unfortunately, they tend to go after individuals who in some cases are afraid. And then you have some other people who are, you know, I remember my son when he was young and a homeless person would come to me and ask me for money. And my son used to say, because he went to Catholic school, he said, well, Ma, that could be Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. So, okay, after him saying that, of course I have to give them the money. But my point is that you have some people that want to help them, and then you have some people who are afraid, and so they do it just to get them off their back. But I agree to stop giving them money.
All right, 410-481-1010. Kevin, you're up next. Talk to me, Kevin.
You can stop carjacking by just having a GPS on the car. That'll solve that problem. A lot of 90% of the work I do in D.C., and one time I had to do something, there wasn't a camera. There was a camera in the front. There was a camera in the alley. There was cameras all over the place that have stopped that. And when I hear politicians...
It won't stop it. It'll help you catch the person. It won't stop
it. Yeah, it'll catch the person. Well, it'll catch the person.
You found the car.
Okay, but it'll be returned because he'll do it again. And my third problem is when I hear politicians and people who hear the school board in them say that they inherited this problem. Well, I inherited a car from an estate sale. I got it fixed. It didn't take me 6 years to get it fixed. So when you tell people that you inherited this problem and it ain't going to be fixed overnight, that's a serious problem.
Mm.
You know, people have to be responsible, and everybody, like you said, education starts first, you know.
Mm-hmm. All right, well said, Kevin. Well said. All right, 410.
No, he's right. And you've got to work on things at one time. You can't focus on one thing and eliminate something else. You got to do everything at the same time. And you got to make sure that your staff and the people that work for you, because that's the key. It's not just one person. You got to make sure you have the kind of quality staff that are going to be on their job, they're going to be doing what they need to do. Last but not least, something that I've said consistently, and that is you need to have some consistency. It doesn't matter if it was my idea or TJ's idea or whoever's idea was. The bottom line is if it was effective and it worked, then build on it. Build on it. Because ultimately you get the credit. And we don't do that.
Good, TJ.
And real quick, Coach, what he just said, what he ended on was what he hears. What he hears coming out of leaders in the city. And that would be part of my advice. We have to be very careful with our words because everyone is listening. And hearing the can kick down the road, in my opinion, emboldens a lot of people to feel like, well, nothing's going to be done now, so I can continue to do. And that's a big deal. I think that's the nail on the head. And our callers reinforce that all the time.
All right, let's go back to the line. Next caller, you up? Are you there?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, this is Issa.
All right, Issa, my man.
How you doing, Coach? How you doing, Miss Mayor?
How you doing?
All right. Well, this is no problem. People just have to get up and do what is supposed to be done. I've been 50 years in dealing with children in this city, turning out strong young men, college graduates, and all sorts of jobs. No one has given us any money from the city or the state. Miss Dixon, though, for whom I'm speaking of, I'm the oldest member in the Avengers Karate Club. We've been around for years doing good work. Nobody mentioned us. So you have to love those children. First of all, you got to respect them. You got to love them, respect them, and understand them. Those are the three keys, and we've used that for over 50 years. So the problem is we need to get together with these people and give this cup some money so they can advance themselves.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Issa. Man, I hadn't heard your voice in a while, but always, always one of my favorite callers from way back, my man Issa.
Miss you, brother.
Hey, man. Hey, I'm here. I'm here every Monday with TJ Smith. All right, let's keep rolling, and let's see what Bobby Baseball has to say. Bobby Baseball.
Hey, Coach. Mayor Dixon, if you run again, you certainly had my vote. It sounds easy. Let's just stop giving them money, but that might create a problem that we're not looking at because they're going to get money somewhere. If you stop giving them money, that don't take away their need for money. But what I would do, I'd call a squeegee conference and have them all come to a big auditorium. I'd have T-shirts, like a yellow T-shirt with a number on it. I'd get their ID. If you want a squeegee and you're wearing these shirts, then people know they can trust you. You're not going to damage their car. You're going to be respectful. That all comes with allowing you to squeegee. And if you don't have that squeegee T-shirt, if we don't know who you are, then you can't be on the street. That might help. But if you just stop giving them money, then they're going to hit me in the head to get it. And I ain't carrying that 380 no more. And I can't be hitting the head.
Thanks, Bob. Thank you.
They've tried that, Bob. They've tried that concept. They've tried those concepts. And, you know, people aren't following rules.
That's right.
You know, putting a jersey on him isn't going to solve the problem. It's been tried. I mean, under the Pew administration, it was the squeegee core. Mayor Brandon Scott just called him in with something a week or so ago, and, you know, some of the problems still persist. So,
mm-hmm. All right.
They had a program that Andre Buntley and them had.
Yeah.
And they've been able to get some of them off the corners and get them into jobs and stuff.
All right. Let's keep rolling. Let's go up. Is this my man, Cleve Brister?
Ain't no question about it.
All right. Come on, man. My main apple scrapper.
Well, let me just share this. I had 40-some years of kids, and some of the worst kids in the world that turned out to be some of the best. You just mentioned one of my kids, Andre Buntley, came through my program, looked at him today. But the fact of the matter is you got to care.
Yep.
Now, one of the things money can't buy everything. I dealt with drug addicts, dealt with some of the toughest gangsters in this town. And I think, I know Smith don't know him because he wasn't around when I was around. They did a lot of things bad, but you got to have a meeting with them. Money cannot buy them. I'm sorry, Sheila. Money cannot buy them because they're going to find a way. You just talked about earlier, you talked about panhandling, from panhandling to now squeegee kids. They just showed the media didn't help any when they showed the kid with a $50 bill. What do you think a kid, I mean, if he can make $300 or $400 a day, why would he want to make $10 or $12 an hour that come up with $40-something? It's a thing where you got to bring them in. Same thing happened when they put me in Shake and Bake. When I went to Shake and Bake, you had the Kerr Street Gang, the Calhoun Street Gang and all, and I looked around and I said, oh, okay. But you got to be strong. You got to be strong and know how to handle people. That's why Dickie Burt, one of the best police officers I know, my boss at Champ, and I know you remember that program, Sheila, he told us, you got to, there's two things in life, and you're not going to get past it, love and fear. Now, the day they've taken, putting these, sent to the Korea with all that mess in there, you got police just sitting in there, using our tax dollars. I just came down Park Heights Avenue, police just sitting there, air conditioned, burning up. What do you think taxpayers are paying? I'm paying for that. Guys out there selling drugs, they ain't touching them. They're just looking at them. They can't do nothing unless they shoot somebody or hit somebody. So it's a way you got to do. Take them out of those cars, walk them up and down, learn the community, find out. They'll snitch. Don't think they won't snitch. I've seen them snitch many times on who got the guns, who the squeegee boys are, and all. And what you do, someone said earlier, what you do is you have that summit when you find out what area. Each district should have an area, a community area, what I made my senator do. You couldn't work with me unless you had community people. I remember one time they talked about cutting my budget. You know what happened, Sheila? You was a council person. I don't think you remember that night. When they talked about it, I went and got community people, and they came in there with a casket, a bent casket. I know y'all gave us that money. You ain't want no problems. So all I'm saying is you got to have two things in life. That's love and fear. Those kids, you start putting them in jail. I wouldn't put them in jail. I'd take them somewhere on one of them farms out there and let them give them a pick and a shovel. That's what I would do. The ones that don't want to listen.
All right, please, my man, we're up against the clock.
Okay, all right, one thing, Sheila, don't forget Saturday and Sunday, Ruth Kircher Festival.
Yep, okay? Yep, I have it down. I'll be there Sunday. It won't be Saturday this year, it'll be Sunday.
All right.
We're looking forward to seeing you Sunday, okay, because we got a good one.
Sunday. My main man, Cleve Brister.
All right, take care.
All right, Mike, you got the last word. Mike.
Oh, Mike Smoove, how you doing, Coach Sheila?
All right.
Like a couple callers said back, you got to change the culture, man, and it starts with the administration. Maybe this guy Ivan Bates can come in and do some different things, man. We got to wait and see, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have to change the mindset, and you change the mindset by changing the culture.
Oh, yeah. One more thing, Coach. The Coach's Corner, this a new show?
Well, we've been on now for about a month. Every Monday at 1 o'clock.
Every Monday at 1 o'clock. Oh, I'm gonna check you guys out from there.
And we have the top guest. Oh man, we've had Commissioner Leonard Hamm. We've had C. Miles, and of course, none bigger than our guest today.
I ain't heard C. Miles in years, man.
Well, you missed it. We had him on. So every Monday, tune in, man. You never know who we may have on.
Yeah, I do. But y'all
coach, before we get out of here, I know we're up against it. I have to ask Mayor Dixon before she goes. Next year at this time, people are going to have announced their intention to be candidates for mayor in 2024. So, mm-hmm. you have another run in you for mayor of Baltimore for 2024.
Like I tell people every day, I said God would have to speak so loud that the person next to me going to hear him say it.
It just shakes right next to you, riding down the street, and you just see him shake for no reason. It could be somebody talking to you. It could be the Lord talking to you. So.
It's going to have to be so loud that the person next to will say, oh, I heard God say that.
The door is not closed.
You know, it takes a lot. You know, it takes a lot. Mm-hmm. I try to give people the benefit of the doubt. I'm trying to, you know, do what I can do with the nonprofits I work with and the businesses that I work with. And right now, that's what I'm focused on.
Well, Mayor Dixon, thank you for joining us. 1 minute, leave our listeners with some parting shots, words of wisdom. Use them as you see fit.
Baltimore is a great city. We have all the key ingredients to be successful. And I just believe that if you're in public office or you're not, that we all have a contribution to make this city better. And so we have to look at what we can do within our little areas to make an impact on our young people, on our seniors, and those that really need our support in helping them to understand their gifts. You know, we lost a really great person this weekend, Vernon Sims. He worked as chief of staff for Kwaisi Mfume when he first ran, for Elijah Cummings, and then he went to the Smithsonian. Vernon used to be with the Black Panthers, and then he got into politics. A great, great individual that we lost. And I just think about all the great people we've lost and what we need to do in order to encourage and uplift our young people for them to see their potential and ability.
Well said. Mayor Sheila Dixon, thanks for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
All right, folks, and that was Mayor Sheila Dixon. And final words, my partner, T.J. Smith.
Hey, another great show, Coach. Thanks to all the callers that we had. And, you know, it's always something. I hope everybody just has a safe week. Keep your head on a swivel and do your part to make our city as good as it can be. Everybody has to step up and do their part. And you have a great week, Coach.
I will have a great week. I'm going to go downstairs and eat me a couple of nothing burgers with mumble sauce. How's that? All right, folks. We'll see you same time, same station next week, 1 p.m. for the Coach's Corner with Coach Butch McAdams and T.J. Smith. Drunk, lying on the side.